All right, and welcome to another episode of Sports Bears, an insight into the business world of pro sports. All right, you're with your host, Zila, a.k.a. Chester Mbekela. And yeah, man, episode 129, almost at 130, And I hope everyone's doing, I hope everyone is doing well because damn, yeah, we've entered winter out here. Yeah, I felt it this morning, you know. So what I do now with my training, you know, regimen is I sort of split, you know, the type of training that I do. So some days I'll hit the weights and then some days I'll actually, you know, go running. There's a nice, you know, park near where I live and it's just like nature and stuff like that. And so there are also like these heavy rocks that are, you know, that are just, that have like been placed over there. You can see it's a park that's been, you know, how do they call it? Like land surveyed type of thing. But yeah, so they, these like heavy rocks that they have on there that you can actually pick up. They're quite heavy. I'm pretty sure each one is at least around close to about maybe 70, 80 kgs, close to 100. So when I don't go into the gym, into the weight room, I usually do, you know, some running over there and I, you know, lift those rocks up. And yeah, yes, it was really humbling. It was really humbling because like picking up every single rock was like picking up a block of ice, you know. Really had my hands, I think I've got blisters on my hands, but it was good. It was good. A great morning workout. And you actually really get to feel how thick the air is, you know, when it's cold. You know, because I remember just going for a run, it just seemed like it was taking long for me to, you know, get some air in. But yeah, anyways, those are the joys of training in winter. You know, do it at your own risk. But funny enough, if I'm going to be honest with you, I do enjoy outdoor training in winter. You know, I enjoy it in the summertime as well, you know, because it's always nice to wake up early in the morning. You know, the sun comes out early in the summertime, where you can just go for a jog around 5 a.m., 6 a.m., because the sun rises very early over here in the summer. And then in the wintertime as well, man, just to, you know, wake up. I don't know. In the wintertime, I think it really tests your willpower, you know. I think it tests your willpower, but yeah, I don't know. I've always had a thing for waking up, you know, during the cold, obviously putting some warm clothes on. I don't go running in shorts in the wintertime. Nah, I wear a full tracksuit and I go out there, man, and I get the work in. I don't know. I guess because I know not a lot of people are out there on the road and in the park training. It's a nicely isolated, you know, place where you can just, you know, get some training done. And I don't know about you, but for me, training has always, you know, it's always given me, you know, sort of like a meditative experience. You know, I think some of the ideas that I do get, you know, business-wise and just, you know, life-wise on, you know, making your next move and so forth, I think I usually get those aha moments when I'm in the gym, if I'm going to be totally honest. Yeah, I don't know about you. Like I'm saying, I think to each his own and each person is different. I mean, some people, they get their inspiration, you know, or their aha moments when they're cooking or when they're cleaning, you know. And in all fairness, I sometimes do get those ideas as well. Like if I'm cleaning my place and stuff, I won't lie. I don't get any ideas while I'm cooking. But when I'm cleaning, especially if I'm cleaning in silence, you know, I sometimes will get like an aha or epiphany about, oh, you know, why don't I try this in terms of strategy wise for the business? Will it work? I don't know. Let's give it a try, you know. But anyway, before I blab on about my training regimens and stuff that I'm sure you don't care about, let's have a look. So today on podcast episode 129, we're going to talk football. Today is going to be mostly dominated by football. but before we go into that, man, we just want to, you know, shout out Cheslin Kobe, you know, just this is going to be a very small rugby shout out. Shout out to Chesney Nkobe, who has arrived in Tokyo and will be playing for Suntory SunGoliath. You know, glad to see the guy landed on his feet, man, because what happened to him a couple of months ago, you know, after being released by Rugby Club Toulon, that was highly unfortunate. And I mean, I'm not going to go deep into that because I've spoken about it in previous episodes about how they dogged him. But, you know, glad to see the guy landed on his feet. And I can't wait to hear what he does in Japan, in the Japan League One, formerly known as the Japan Top League, but it's no longer called the Top League. Now they call it League One. It's going to be interesting to see what he does. It won't be easy. I hope he hasn't come here expecting it to be a walk in the park. You know, the local Japanese players, they take their rugby serious here. And also, remember, a lot of the clubs have recruited as well. So after the, you know, that's one of the good things about the Rugby World Cup is that it becomes a cesspool where, you know, rugby clubs literally just go shopping. So after that tournament, I'm sure a lot of guys signed contracts to play in Japan. A lot of guys signed contracts to play in the French top 14, as we also saw Siya Kolisi debut for Racing 92. So, yeah, congratulations to those guys, man. But yeah, glad to have Chesney Nkobe in Japan and a few other Kiwis and other South Africans that have signed to play on here. I know Faf de Klerk plays for Canon Eagles, so he's been here for a while. I think Jesse Creel is also playing here in Japan, you know. With that being said, I do think that I need to get back to attending games at the stadium. You know, when I stopped playing rugby, I think for a good 2 years, I didn't watch a rugby game. I didn't go to the stadium, nothing. You know, the first time I watched rugby was close to the end of last year when I went to go watch a game at the stadium. I think Kubota Spears were playing against, who were they playing against? I think it was Kubota Spears versus Suntory SunGoliath. So I went to go watch that game. And it was good, man. It was good, you know. Having that 2 year hiatus from watching any rugby and everything, it was actually good. You know, it allowed me to really detach from rugby. And now I just literally watch it as, you know, an onlooker, an enthusiast, if you will. All right, so that's enough of that rugby talk. When we come back after the break, man, we're just going to be talking all things football. The J1 League has come to a conclusion, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to dive into talking about a little bit of, you know, South African football. So make sure you stay tuned for that. All right, see you guys after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. I know, you know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, you know, there'd be times I would go through, you know, feelings of like stress and anxiety, you know, stress to perform, you know, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, you know, I really wish that I had had, you know, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, all right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, you know, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, you know. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist And everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, you know, is just their response time. That if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then. You know, my therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right. That's better, HELP.com/KZMBEKELA Mbekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back after that break. And before we get started, a further shout out to our other sponsors. Shout out to Nike Australia, Nike Corporation. It's been one hell of a ride, you know, rocking with you guys, man. You know, we've learned so much from just watching the Nike brand and, you know, just so much from just working with them and partnering with them. You know, so shout out to them. And obviously, if you want to check out their online store, I'll make sure to drop our affiliate link on the description of the podcast. And then shout out to MyProtein. You know, thank you to them as well for being our, you know, protein partner, protein sponsor. It's been really awesome, you know, just using their supplements, man. And again, as a person who likes to work out, you know, using supplements is very good for recovery, you know. So I definitely urge you guys to check these guys out as well. And I'll also make sure to drop their online store link on the description of the podcast. And then lastly, thank you to 365 Games. You know, again, I'm very big into video games. I'm not gonna lie. Like, in my downtime, if I'm not watching a movie, I'm always, you know, playing video games. So yeah, if I'm not watching a movie at the beach, listening to music, then I'm definitely playing video games. And I love it, you know, I really love it. So if you want to check out these guys' online store, you know, for the latest gaming equipment, you know, gaming consoles, video games in general, make sure to check their online store as well. I'll make sure to drop that on the description of the podcast, right? You can access their link from the description of our podcast. All right, so getting into today's episode, we're actually going to start off with the J1 League, all right, of Japan. As the league, you know, has pretty much drawn to a close, a dramatic close, I can't help but feel happy, you know, for Vissel Kobe, you know. I really believe they are a club who deserve a massive round of applause. And again, if you don't know about it yet, I mean, I also spoke about it in my blog, but I didn't go into too much depth. You know, my blog, I just basically talked about their journey on the surface and so forth. So you can check that out. Our athlete network is back up, all right? So you can make sure to check that out. We'll have blogs on there. And obviously, it's a platform where, you know, football players, amateur football players, amateur teams and amateur coaches can connect on the platform, negotiate contracts and, you know, create opportunities for one another. All right. The best thing about this platform is that we, you know, agents, you know, there's no commission. There are no agents commissioned. when using the platform. So if a team is able to sign a player, they conclude the contract on their own and we have nothing to do with it. You know, we just created a platform where all three parties can meet. All right, so make sure you check that out. And that will be on www.athletenetwork.net. All right, make sure if you're a soccer player, amateur soccer player, if you're an amateur coach, if you're an amateur team, make sure you sign up, subscribe. Signing up is free. It's totally free. All right, so make sure you use the platform. All right, I digressed a little bit. So getting back to talking about Vissel Kobe. So yeah, man, Kobe, they literally went from being a team that almost got relegated last season, you know. And man, I felt for them so much because, again, they had so many marquee players. And a bulk of those marquee players, they actually started offloading a bulk of them. I think the only one that was left that was really on the money, that was like really on big money, was Andre Iniesta, all right? And we're actually going to get into talking about a little bit about Andre Iniesta in a moment. But yeah, just to start off with, yeah, so last season, they literally spent the bulk of the season at position 17 and 18, you know? And this was leading up to last year's summer transfer window. And what actually ended up saving them was that after the transfer window, they were able to improve a bit and fight themselves literally about one spot away from having to be in the playoffs, like to compete and try to stay in the J1 competition. You know, things got a little better for them after the transfer window, but, you know, they were a dismal outfit. You know, and it was really disheartening because, again, you've got a legend in Andre Iniesta, man, the Spanish legend, playing with this team, and they just could not make it happen last season, you know. And then for them, again, they were one of those teams, they went into their shells during last year's, you know, off season for December period, and they made the right key acquisitions. They got the right players to come in. And what I actually noticed, because I follow them on their, you know, YouTube channel and their social media, what they did was their problem wasn't actually up front. What they did was they made all their key recruitments, you know, as defensive players. So they invested on getting defenders and defensive midfielders and so forth. And yeah, those guys, when they came in, man, they just changed everything. You know, they came in with this enthusiasm and energy and they just turned things around. And you could actually tell by watching their YouTube, you know, their YouTube channel, because what they did was they documented the journey. You know, it was sort of like a resurgence or arising from the ashes, you know, type of story that they wanted to document. So they started documenting and they started, you know, putting out content of their training sessions and so forth. And you could kind of tell that this was a team that was on the upward, you know, trajectory, and that this was a team that just wasn't prepared to have, you know, back-to-back, you know, dismal seasons. You know, I think almost getting relegated or almost having to be in the relegation playoffs really shook them. So yeah, man, so when the 2023 J1 League competition started, I think the one thing Vissel Kobe did well was they were like, look, we're not gonna wait until halfway through the season for us to really, you know, get our ducks in order. From the word go, they just lit everybody up. You know, and I think everybody, you know, who witnessed this winning streak, this early winning streak that this team went on, everybody, I'm pretty sure, was like, nah, listen, you know, this is just, I'll say, in Xhosa, we have this saying where we say, umoya we ino. Translating that means that the person is showing, you know, potential too early, but it's going to die down quickly. So anyone who's from South Africa knows that Eno is that, you know, it's that drink that that you drink when you've got like a stomach ache and everything. So it like, it bubbles, you know, but all of that bubble, all of that bubbling is temporary. It literally, you know, it bubbles up for about 2-3 seconds and then it goes down and then it turns into a normal drink. So that analogy that Vissel Kobe was showing early signs of potential, everybody thought it would be short-lived. You know, everybody didn't pay them any mind. Until, I think about 3 or 4 months later, these guys were still sitting on top of the log. And I think that's when everybody was like, all right, uh-oh. I think, you know, this is a different outfit. This is a different team to what they were in 2022. And then that's when, again, everybody started taking notice that, okay, let's see what these guys have to offer. You know? And I mean, they were one of the teams, obviously, in the summer transfer period, they did get some reinforcements, especially up front. But generally, man, they stuck with the same striking team or attacking team that they had from last season. Because, again, they weren't bad players, you know. And they just started, you know, finding their feet, finding their form. But the unfortunate part in all of this, while all of this resurgence was happening, guess what happened? It seemed as though there was no place for Iniesta. You know, and then all obviously, him being a player that's never sat on the bench for anyone, I don't, you know, it just became a very bitter pill for him to swallow, to know that the team is doing well and he's not even in the starting 11. You know, and I mean, again, I'm not going to go deep into this because I've spoken about it in previous episodes. But it really made no financial sense for Vissel Kobe to keep a player of his magnitude, paying him that amount of money and have him sit on the bench. You know, so that's why eventually they had to cut ties. They had to go their separate ways because it was like, look, it had been an incredible 5 seasons, but unfortunately, his time was up. His time was up. And I think he kind of also, you know, saw the writing on the wall that, okay, yeah, it's time for me to go. It's time for me to go. And there's nothing wrong with that. It does happen. You know, that happens within professional sports all the time. You know, and that's why I always encourage players, man, never get too attached to a team, even though it feels like home. I understand. Sometimes, you know, as an athlete, you go to play in a certain, how can I say, market or destination, and you settle in well over there. You know, the culture agrees with you, the weather agrees with you, the style of football or the style, whatever sporting code you're playing, you know, whether it's rugby, basketball, soccer, you know, tennis, whatever sport you're playing, it agrees with you, you know, the style that they play with it agrees with you. The lifestyle, you know, agrees with you and all. It's very easy to get attached and to get comfortable, you know. And, you know, where it gets hurtful and when it gets tough now is when the team is like, you know, thank you for your years of service, but we won't be offering you another contract. That's where it becomes hard. However, in Iniesta's case, Vissel Kobe did actually offer him an extension because I think they wanted him to stay on as sort of like a mentor role. They wanted him to be a super sub, an impact player. Because I won't lie to you, every time Iniesta took the field from the bench, because they benched him all season, he didn't start one game. Every single time he came off the bench, he made one hell of an impact. But the players that had started before him had already laid the foundation. You know, because there was a rise in another superstar for Vissel Kobe. And this guy's actually going on to, he's possibly going to win MVP of the league. Yuya Osaku, local Japanese player. He had a phenomenal season. Scored amazing goals for Vissel Kobe. So it was one of those where it was like, all right, it just, you know, Iniesta has to swallow his pride and he has to sit on the bench. And actually, just, you know, to to correct myself, Iniesta did actually start his final game for the club when it was announced. After it was announced that he was leaving, the last game that he played, they allowed him to start. He started the game, and I think he played well over a little bit after halftime. I think he played the first half and maybe like 10 minutes into the second half, and then he got subbed. In fact, by the end of the game, the guy, he wasn't even wearing his playing kit. He was just like in just, obviously he was in his Vissel Kobe shirt, but he wasn't wearing playing kit. You know, he was wearing different shorts. He looked like a physio, or the guy who's going to run on water for the guys, you know. So yeah, just to fix that minor mistake that I made in saying that he didn't start any game. Yeah, he started his last game. But just back to my point. So, you know, just, you know, guys like Yuya Osaku and then all the other younger players and combinations that were tried out during the offseason, they were really working out. So I think that's why for Vissel Kobe, they had to respect his decision of not wanting to sign on, because they were like, look, at the end of the day, this guy was on the bench anyway, you know. So they let him go. But I'm pretty sure that he is going to get a medal because, well, he played half the season and he had played 5 seasons for the club. So I think just as a reward for the changes that he brought when he came to the club, he's definitely going to get a medal for the J1 League. And I mean, this is Vissel Kobe's first ever championship title. This is the first time they've ever won the J League competition in its, you know, 26-year existence. You know, so I'm pretty sure those guys are going to be celebrating well into December, man. Because, look, when you win something for the first time, there's nothing like it. The first time for anything, that first championship, that first title, nothing beats that feeling. You know, so I think it really is going to mean a lot. And I think what gives it its significance is the fact that this was a team nobody, absolutely nobody, would have given a chance, half a chance, for them to win this league in 2023 after the way they were playing in 2022, you know. And again, I think what also made it so exciting was the fact that Yokohama F. Marinos, who were last season's champions, they didn't make it easy for Vissel Kobe. They honestly didn't make it easy. Like, they fought right up until the end, like it was a title race. And obviously, I mean, the game of the season was the top of the table clash between Yokohama F. Marinos and Vissel Kobe, whereby, you know, the winner of that game, it was like the winner of that game has more of a chance of winning the league, but it wasn't, you know, cast in stone. And obviously Vissel Kobe, you know, they came out victors. They beat them 2-0. They won that game 2-0. You know, and it was always said that when it comes down to it, Vissel Kobe were always going to be edging F. Marinos because of the goal difference, the points in goal difference. But again, nothing was cast in stone. So F. Marinos were like, you know what? Fuck all the stats. Fuck everything. We're still going to go for the title. We're going to fight right up until the end. And that's what they did. So every single time, after every single week that both teams had played, they would say that the title race continues. And then they would show, like, F. Marinos beat this team this much, Vissel Kobe drew, or Vissel Kobe beat this team this much, and F. Marinos either lost or drew, and so forth. So it was like a back and forth. It became exciting, man, for the J League. It became really exciting. And I think they definitely, that game between the two teams was probably one of the highest viewed games in the J1 League competition, because everybody wanted to see that, you know, will the underdog prevail, Vissel Kobe, will they, you know, give themselves a chance at winning this league? You know, it was a must win for them, because if they had lost that game against F. Marinos, then the favor, momentum would have shifted towards F. Marinos to, you know, potentially win the league. So yeah, it was really exciting, man. Really exciting. And I have to commend the J1 League marketing team. They really marketed it well. They really advertised it and they really promoted it well, to create, this underdog and, yeah, the whole underdog. They sold the whole underdog theme very well for Vissel Kobe. But yeah, so that's how the J1 League competition pretty much ended. And now currently they're actually playing the promotion relegation playoffs. I know in the J2 competition, I think Shimizu S-Pulse has to play against, I think, between Tokyo Verdy. Yeah, to between Tokyo Verdy and I think Jubilo Iwata. I think if they end up winning that game, then Shimizu S-Pulse will surely return to the J1 competition. And then I think teams that are getting relegated from the J1, yeah, I'm pretty sure Shonan Bellmare will probably go down. Yokohama FC are also facing relegation again. And then an automatic ascension from the J2 will be Machida Azelvia. Yeah, and much deserved, man. They did well in the J2 competition. So I hope, yeah, man, I hope I see them. Well, we're definitely going to be seeing Machida in the J1, but I really hope to see Shimizu S-Pulse, man. It would really mean a lot to the people of Shizuoka and the people of, Shimizu. So that is pretty much the story and the journey of Vissel Kobe. Congratulations to them. Everybody enjoys a fairy tale ending, so to speak, because, yeah, man, everybody loves to see the underdog prevail because it's been one hell of a journey for them. And for them to literally take one season to turn it all around, coming from a dismal season, is nothing short of spectacular and special. All right? So, congratulations to Vissel Kobe. May you celebrate well into December. And enjoy your off season, guys. You've earned it. You've earned it. Enjoy the rest time. And we'll see you again in 2024. All right? Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. The question now is, can you repeat it? Can you repeat it? All right. So that is pretty much all for the J1 League competition. The next part that we're going to talk about, relating to football, and I actually read this last week, man, and I was, it made me really happy, and it gave me a sense of hope. I read in a South African, publication that, former player, former probably one of the most successful captains for Bafana Bafana for South Africa, for the South African national football team, in Lucas Radebe. I mean, it was announced that he's actually eyeing a top job, like at SAFA, at the South African Football Association. And my immediate thought, man, was, fuck, it's about time. It really is about time. This would be a brilliant move. And I love the fact that, Lucas Radebe reiterated that, listen, for him, this is not about money. This is really not about money. I mean, Lucas Radebe went and played in Leeds. I think he had over a 10-year spell playing at Leeds. The guy made a lot of money. The guy is still an ambassador for Leeds United. He made a hell of a lot of money playing in England, man. And I mean, even now, he's still one of those former players who's still making a lot of money, off the field in terms of like, brands are always wanting to work with him because Lucas was a clean guy in terms of image. He's a player that had never been in trouble, just the way he carries himself. He's a very dignified brother, And I actually had the pleasure of meeting Lucas Radebe when I just become a football agent, football intermediary in 2021. I had a video call with him because he was actually interested in me possibly representing
his son, you know, trying to see what opportunities might be available here in Japan for his son. And I was very honest with him about, you know, the prerequisites and what Japanese clubs look for, and the fact that because South African football is not where it used to be, there isn't a high demand, you know, for South African players. So I was very open and honest about how difficult it would be to, you know, to get his son, Hugo, you know. I'm not sure if his son is still playing football. But the time that we were talking, he was saying that his son was training with Mpumalanga Black Aces, you know. But yeah, I mean, we had a very good chat with Lucas. And I remember actually also asking him, I was like, listen, as a former player and with the success that your generation had, I was open. I asked him, how do you feel about the current generation of players? And he was also very honest. Obviously, I'm not going to repeat word for word what he said, but he also expressed his dissatisfaction for where the state of football is in the country, man. You know, whereby, you know, our teams are struggling to qualify for big tournaments because, you know, invariably that is where our players are able to be scouted by overseas big leagues, is when they are seen playing on the big stage, you know. Yeah, so we had that conversation, man. Very brilliant conversation, man. Brilliant mind. You can just tell that he's very content with how his career went. Yeah, and I mean, to have someone like him at the helm, you know, in fact, he should take Danny Yordan's spot, you know. And I think Lucas making this brave move, I think should be a siren or a signal to a lot of former players, especially the guys who went and had successful spells in Europe or wherever they went and played, man, or in America, wherever they went and played. I think this should be a signal to them that they need to consider getting involved on the administrative side, the business side, the executive side of professional soccer in South Africa. You know, we have enough coaches. South African football has enough coaches. We aren't short of more coaches. Because again, this is why I just encourage guys that look for other options. Because again, coaching relies on you getting a job again. It relies on a team giving you an opportunity. You know, whereby if these guys now are looking at the executive positions, they can really implement things that they learned, you know, within the structures that they were playing in, whether the guy was playing in Europe, whether the guy was playing in America, whether the guy was playing in Asia, wherever guys are playing, they can bring some of those ideas. Obviously, not, you know, imitating everything that we see abroad, also keeping our style as South Africans, but having that combination of knowledge could be beneficial to our structures within SA football. Because these current old geezers, man, they're just not getting it done. These old guys all need to get out and let these former players actually get in and implement some change. You know, so that's my little rant about that, man. Is that rant or rant or however people say it? But yeah, I would love to see players from that golden era of South African soccer. I would love to see most of them just, you know, getting into the executive positions at SAFA. You know, just like what Kaiser Motaung did for his team, Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, he's got his son, who's a former player in Kaizer Junior, at the helm. You know, and he also announced that now he's passing everything over to his children to run the club. You know, so those are things that we'd love to see, man. Yeah, we have enough coaches, guys. We have enough coaches. And honestly, for me, I understand if you have a passion for coaching and everything. But I think, you know, at some point, though, you also need to understand that not every single good player is going to become a good coach. Not every single good player is going to become a good coach. What that entail, you know, what that in turn means is that not every single player is meant to be a coach once they're done playing. I just think it's a very lazy way of thinking that, okay, I'm done playing. Now the next logical step is definitely, now I must become a coach. You know, I love coaching. I think, you know, coaching is good because it's your way of giving back your knowledge. But I do think that sometimes you need to look at the bigger picture. That in the world of professional sports, the ecosystem is large. That you could actually take some of your coaching tendencies and implement them in the administrative side as well. You know, I really am not knocking coaching. I love coaching. I think at some point, who knows, maybe, and especially in the rugby sphere, but thing is though, nah, I don't think I ever want to become a coach, because when you become a coach, then it's hard to become an agent. You can't become a coach and an agent. So for me, if I have to choose, I'm always going to choose the agent part. But that doesn't mean you can't give some coaching, you know. What I'm trying to say is, if these guys would choose to go into an administrative role, it doesn't mean that they can't still contribute in a coaching manner. Not coaching, they obviously can't coach a team, but they could offer their expertise, you know, on a consultancy basis. Maybe you go watch a training session and you give your opinion and stuff like that. That's also coaching, you know. I just want to see more guys. Now, I think what South African football needs more than ever is for the admin and executive sides to be built back up. They need that more than they need new coaches, because, again, like I said, we have exceptional coaches. We have enough coaches. You know, I don't think I can reiterate that, you know, anymore, man. That, yeah, just guys really need to start looking at the business side of professional sports, because again, that is pretty much how pro sports is run in a country, is making sure that the structures, the business structures are, you know, firing on all cylinders, because you have to be the guys that have to organize tournaments. You have to be the guys that organize the channels that allows talent to come through. All of these things are dependent on guys with the know-how, you know, and that's why I'm advocating for these former players, because some guys really went and played in leagues where they got to be exposed to so much, you know, things that could be really beneficial to our structures within South African football, you know. So get on it, gentlemen, get on it, because nobody's going to fix SAFA but the people. Nobody's going to fix SAFA but, you know, the former players, the people that have been involved in the ecosystem. Not outsiders. Outsiders can't come in and fix SAFA. They can't. You know? So yeah, that is I just had to get that off my chest, man. That, you know, Lucas, what he's doing could be a game-changing thing, and it could be a spark. It could be the spark that is needed to get South African football back to where it was. And again, no disrespect to Danny Yordan. He's served his time, but I think he's been in that position too long. A change is needed. A change is definitely needed. You know. So yeah, so that is pretty much today's episode, guys. Those are my thoughts, man. Still a wonderful world. Still a wonderful world. Now it's not all gloom and doom. You know, it's not all gloom and doom. But yeah, it's always awesome, man, to just, you know, create content and to just to just come over and just have a chat. Oh yeah, and before I go, man, yeah, shout out to Katlego Mpela, man, you know. again, these are the sparks and the changes that I love to see that I think could be really beneficial. You know, and as much as a lot of people are dogging and laughing at Katlego Mpela for getting a regular job, there's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, I think Katlego Mpela is going to be a killer car salesman because of his notoriety. A person who was maybe a big fan of his will be more willing to buy a car from him than some guy that he doesn't recognize, whose face he doesn't recognize. So I actually think that Katlego Mpela and him working for VW as a car salesman is actually a brilliant move. Both parties are going to make a lot of money, because I actually think the guy is going to be able to sell a lot of cars. And again, before I go, you know, people, sometimes, you know, Tina as Abantu, we sometimes really F ourselves up, man, because there is honestly nothing funny about a guy getting a regular job. In fact, I could tell you now, there are a lot of former NFL players, a lot of former, rugby players, South African rugby players, who once they retire, some of them actually do become car salesmen. I kid you not. One of the guys I played rugby with, we played together at the Bulls under 18 Academy Week, Martin Dreyer. Martin and I were the two players that got signed to go play in Potchefstroom. We both got bursaries to go play in Potchefstroom at Pukka. I played with Martin at the Leopards under 19. And then I left Poch, obviously, after some time. And I think he stayed. And then eventually he also left. And at some point, I think he was at the... Who did he play for? I think he was at the Cheetahs. He went overseas to France and then came back. Was at the Bulls. So he's played around the teams within South Africa. And I think he ended his career at the Bulls. Yeah, he ended his career at the Bulls. But guess what? When Martin retired, he got a job at Toyota in Groenkloof, or I think Toyota in Brooklyn or in Menlyn or somewhere. The point that I'm trying to make is he's a car salesman. But because of the fact that he has a familiar face, people have seen him on TV, he's able to get good business. And that's exactly what Katlego Mpela is doing as well. You know, and the guy was open, and that he tried a bit of business ventures, shisa nyamas and stuff, and they didn't work out. Shit happens. You know, we really shouldn't laugh at people, man, who just try to make an honest living. And yeah, because football is over for him now. It's over. And he even said that he doesn't believe that he'd be a good coach. That's why he didn't pursue the coaching route. You know. So yeah, man, shout out to him and congratulations to him, man. That's a guy making an honest living. And who knows where this thing could lead? Who knows where it could take him? I think him and VW are going to get a lot of business. You know. And again, the reason why I'm talking about what Mpela is doing is I'm hoping this will spark. This will inspire, you know, other former players that once they retire, they can venture into these things, man. Because there are so many of our, you know, brothers, man, who play after they're done playing professional football in South Africa. They just go back and they chill and they do nothing. And then they just drink and people come and they take pictures of them and they put them online. And then it becomes a laughing frenzy that, ha, 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 look at how so-and-so has fallen off. Ha, 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 he blew his money. He used to drive in BMs and live in mansions. Now he's got nothing. Ha, ha, ha. It becomes, yeah, just a laughing session for people. You know, so I'm hoping that what Katlego Mpela is doing in showing that, listen, guys, when the game is over and you've packed up your boots and you've shelved them, you can move on. And you can actually live on. Make an honest living and carry on with your life. You know. So shout out to Katlego Mpela. I mean, I hope more players get inspired
you know, to follow in this sort of path as well. Because for me, it's no longer funny seeing these young men play years of professional soccer, and then once they're done playing, they go back to being broke and they go back to just chilling at gas and doing nothing. There's nothing funny about that. It really isn't funny anymore. You know? But yeah, man. Good on these guys. Shout out to Roo. Khadebe. Shout out to Katlego Mpela, man. I was really happy when I read these things on the paper, on the publications. You know, it's a positive step in the right direction, for sure. All right. So that is pretty much today's episode, man. It's all positive. We stay positive, man. And we celebrate things. We celebrate people that are just doing good, you know, in the world of sport, in the world of business, and so forth. All right. So, yeah, I'm about to go and get my day started, man. You know, in the winter period, 1st of December, you know, I hope you guys have a great December. Everyone who's in the Southern Hemisphere, everyone back home, hope you guys enjoy the summer, man. Because damn, it is cold at the side. But yeah, have a good day, guys. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Oh, before I go, shout out to everyone who's been supporting the podcast. And again, you can support the podcast by copying some merch. Our Japanese-inspired merch, our sports merch, everything merch-related on our Sports Biz Podcast merch website. All right? So you can find all the merch that you can get at www.sportsbizpodcastmerch.com. All right? I'll also drop the link on the description of the podcast. But thank you, guys. Thank you for all the positive feedback that you guys always give me, man. I really appreciate it. And yeah, we keep going. We keep going and we stay grinding. All right? Take care of yourselves. I'll see you next time. In Japanese, we say otsukare sama desu. Cheers. See you next time. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports. We lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it.